If you haven't caught it from the words of the songs that we've been singing, we're talking about trusting God today. And we're trying to focus on how we can actually go to the Lord when there's times of trouble, and we can say, God, help us, and we trust that He will. Before I do that, I have promised that I would talk about this, because most of you have come in and you've seen my face all scarred up, and it's like, what happened to Dan? Well, it simply happened that I was chasing a duck. I may allude to why later in the sermon, but I was chasing a duck. And it was a foolish thing to do because for the last year or so, if you've known me, you've seen a little bit of a gait limp. And it's because I've been fighting sciatica for over a year. And my left leg is not as powerful as my right. But I was faithfully chasing these duck off of my property. And I was doing well thinking, hey, you know, I'm running pretty good. And then the duck took a hard left turn. And so did I on my bad left leg. And I went stumbling down a little hill, and I was like a 747 coming in without landing gear right on my face. And it wasn't fun. So that's what happened. Everybody told me to come up with a better story than that. But that's what happened. Well, we're in the book of Proverbs today, and we don't have slides. I never have slides. I never am that prepared. But anyways, I would like you to open up your pew Bible to the book of Proverbs. And you'll find the book of Proverbs right around page 627. Because we're going to be in chapter 3 of Proverbs, but we're going to move around a little bit through 3 to 4 and 1, 2, something like that. But within a page or two. So if you get to Proverbs chapter 3, have it on your lap. Please do that because it'll be helpful. But you know, there's a very popular biblical passage, and you all may know this well. This is what it is. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. I think I know that as well as I've known that as well as I know John 3:16. You know, it's a passage we lean on. It's a passage we talk about. It's a passage. It's such a great passage because if you're a person of God, it makes sense. Why shouldn't we rely heavily, or if not entirely, on God for how we live our lives and how we deal with problems in our lives? This passage is not some biblical advice now. This passage is a command. But really, how well do any of us follow this scriptural command? I know in the past, in my professional life, I would go many days, I'll admit it, without ever asking God for help on any of the matters that I would be dealing with in work. And even today, I think it may still happen. I may go day or day in, out without saying, oh, God, how would you help me with this? It's just what happens to us, I think. But it's a bad habit. We'll talk about that later. But I think when there's big matters in our life, when there's really big issues that come up, yes, we who are godly people, we go to God in prayer. And what do? We say, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling, and I trust you, God, for making this situation right. That's what we say, right? But now, for me, I make that statement. I say, I'm trusting you, God, to make this situation right. And then within seconds, I'm telling God how to do it. You know, I say something like, God, listen, this is how this problem would best be resolved. And then I catch myself and I say, no, God, do what you need to do. But it really would be a good idea. You know, I think you're laughing because you probably have done that too. You see, the problem is with us is we all want what we want. And we want God to deliver what we want, right? Well, The book of Proverbs is filled with great teaching, and we're going to be focusing on Proverbs chapter 3 today. But I'd like to just bring you back a page, maybe if it's a page, to Proverbs chapter 1 and how it starts. And this is what it says. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young." My goal today is to focus on this passage in chapter 3, trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, and highlighting some of the fullness of this passage by looking at the Hebrew words, a few of the Hebrew words, because they stand out as a little different than what you might just pull from being an English translation. But then I also want to go from there to plugging into the power of God's wisdom for how we would be able to live out this command. Our ultimate goal should be what is in chapter 3 in the verses just before verse 5, where people would know us as letting love and faithfulness never leave us, binding them around our neck and writing them on the tablet of our heart so that we would win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That's our goal as godly people, to live this way. So verse 5 starts out with the command to trust in the Lord, or specifically, trust God. In Hebrew, it's trust Yahweh, trust God. As New Testament followers, we all are familiar with this word trust, and we are told to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ with trust. And what we're to trust is, we trust that Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection have made a way for us to have eternal life, right? That's what we always say. And we also trust that there's nothing we can do to earn this gift of life, this grace. Jesus did it all. In other words, we trust in what Jesus did for us and what he's already done for us. But in today's passage, there's a little bit of a twist here. It says, rather than trusting in what God has already done, we are called to trust on what he will do for us. There's a little bit of a difference. Rather than in, it's on. The Hebrew word here for trust is the word called batah, which is best translated as having a trusting hope. The use of the word trust in verse 5 guides us to have a hope of being safe, being secure, specifically to rely on God rather than any other unwise means of support, especially maybe our own better judgment. Now, there are many places throughout the Old Testament where this word batah for trust is found. One in particular that's really good is in Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, David is crying out because there's crises going on in his life. And this is what he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You're enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. To you they cried out and were saved in, and you they trusted. They trusted, they batah, and were not put to shame. My God, why have you forsaken me? You remember those words being recorded by the gospel in Matthew? Those are the last words that Jesus uttered as he was suffering on the cross in the midst of the worst kind of pain imaginable. He says this. And what does it say? He says he is trusting on his Father's deliverance. He fully trusted on his coming resurrection to new life as in our eternal Lord. And ever since his resurrection, Jesus remains there for us as our trusted Savior. Before ascending, Jesus said, And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know what? He means it. Jesus meant that. We can rely on and we can fully trust that Jesus hears our prayers when we turn to him. Now back to the passage in chapter 3, verse 5. We trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, something I've said in business often, giving people advice, I'd say, trust your instincts. Just trust your instincts. Your instincts will give you the right path to follow. Well, you know, it seems like good advice, but is it always? Sometimes not. Sometimes it's not good advice. Because our instincts can often be outside of how God would guide us. And if we stopped and think about it, maybe talk with God in a short prayer, we'd probably make a better decision than what our instincts would have told us to do. Maybe I should have done that before I chased that stupid duck. I didn't, though, of course. My dog is a German short-haired pointer. His name is Milo. Milo had been raised as a puppy by my son Joey. And Joey taught Milo to listen well, mostly. German short-haired dogs are bird dogs. And they genetically lose their minds when they see a bird or a duck. There's nothing they can do about it. We live in a neighborhood filled with Muscovy ducks. So now you're starting to understand, I was supposed to walk Milo. You're understanding a little bit why I was going after a duck. Now, if I would let Milo go free at any time in our neighborhood, he would find ducks, and I don't know what would happen. I don't know if I could even get him back. And I know this because there's another German short-haired pointer in our neighborhood. And let me tell you, one day Susan says, "What's that in the lake behind our house?" And it's a German short-haired pointer out there swimming feverishly after a duck. And as fast as the duck swam, the dog swam. And I said, "This is not a good thing." So I ran out my sliding door, and I'm chasing after the duck. "Come on, boy, come on, come on, come on, come on, get out of the water." The dog would not listen, didn't even give me a glance. He was focused on that duck. That was what his instincts were telling him to do. And so I thought, well, I'll scare the duck. So I ran ahead of him and I scared the duck. The duck flew out of the water, because I'm good at it. And the dog jumps out of the water and runs across Pine Island Road and just nearly got killed by a car. So should we trust our instincts? I don't think so. When Milo and I go for a walk up in the park, if there's a duck nearby and he sees it, the pull is incredible. I'm braced and ready for it at all times. But the duck always takes off. And then Milo puts his nose to the ground and he's all over the place, pulling in this way and that way, all over the place. And I'm like, "Milo, stop it, stop it." Pulling him back, and finally he stops. Finally he listens. And then he comes alongside me and sits next to me and he looks up at me and then he gives that dog a smile and he looks around and he just enjoys life. Just enjoys life. You know, there's a metaphor there. Without Milo's loving and firm owner, he could make a fatal error leading to his, you know, if he's left to his own instincts. That's how it is with us also, isn't it? We're very capable of making terrible, terrible decisions, each one of us. Like Milo, we often disregard our master God for a bit, and we follow a bad path. But God is always with us, and if we will just relax and rely on his guidance and care, if we would just do that, life will be mostly good, and most of the paths that we follow will be good as well. So, this is all true. Why is it then that we don't always, in all our ways, acknowledge God? As it says in this passage, in every way, acknowledge God. Well, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom, God's wisdom. And what we see from this is that if we're not paying attention to the wisdom of God and using the wisdom of God to guide our lives, we are not having a good habit of life. Now, anything that we want to do well in life, right? Anything that we want to do well in life, we need to form good habits. When I was a young man, I believed that I was going to grow up to be a professional baseball player. And I was a left fielder. I didn't care about third base, second base, or shortstop. I was a left fielder. And all I wanted to know, you heard the term, baseball ready, right? Parents are yelling at their kids all the time, baseball ready. Well, what baseball ready to me meant was that if the pitch was about to be delivered and I'm in left field, I know where everybody is on base. I know what I'm going to do if I charge in to catch a ball on the ground. I know what I'm going to do if I catch a ball. I know what I'm going to do if I have to run back because a ball went over my head. Because I'm going to anticipate, as soon as I grab that ball, I'm going to anticipate exactly, without even thinking, where I'm going to toss that ball. That's baseball ready. That's forming habits. And I did that on every single pitch in every single game. Some people say baseball is very boring. Well, it wasn't boring for me because I was always paying attention this way. And I still do that as I watch ball now. If you think about it, we need habits in life. I formed that habit for playing baseball. But I need to, and all of us need to, form similar habits as it comes to dealing with God and relying on God's wisdom. You know, it makes for a good Bible study if you go into the book of Proverbs and you start in chapter 1, you go through chapter 9, and you look for every issue where they're talking about the wisdom of God. If you would read that and think about that, you would be amazed at how that might change your opinion about relying on God and God's wisdom. In chapter 3, which we're working on here further down, it says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver and has better returns than gold. And the book is full of these kinds of passages. But one I really like in particular, and it's very simple, down to earth, how to get wisdom, is in chapter 4. If you look over in chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. It's as simple as that. Get wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's other places where the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, and that happens whenever you really have an awesome understanding of the power and the majesty of God, and so you want to have that wisdom that's from God, but the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. So then what do? You find out how to get wisdom. We get wisdom, though, when we habitually seek it. As we consciously seek to have an ever-present awareness of God in our lives. And as we do this, this awareness of having God in our lives becomes more and more a part of our lives. So that almost in every issue, when you're alone and you're thinking about something, you may have a tendency to gravitate towards, well, is that what God would have me do? This kind of awareness is what God wants for all of us. Look at back in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll read it if you get there. It's called the moral benefits of wisdom. And so here are some of the aspects of getting wisdom into your life. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I said that earlier, the fear of the Lord. You will understand the awesome nature, the majesty of God. You will understand that God's heart is for us. You will have the fear, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So as we end, we unpack this a little bit. Because it's calling for us to do a few things here. First off, in this passage, he's saying, grasp my words, store up the commandments in your heart. What this means is you get into the Word of God on a regular basis. It's you and God alone. It's not you doing what somebody told you to do. It could be just 15 minutes. When I was in business, I used to read the Bible while I was eating my Wheaties in the morning. That was my time. It could be some people have their time at night before they go to bed. It could be any time. If you have a coffee break during the day, that's when you might read Scripture. But I'm telling you, what the Word of God tells us to do is to spend time in God's Word, because what happens when we read God's Word and we embrace God's Word, what happens is God talks to us. We feel it. We sense it. And that's so important. God's talking to us. But then what does he say in chapter 2? He says, but indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, what he's saying there is, if you pray back to me, you know yourself very well. Every one of us does. But God knows you better. God knows why he made you. God knows what he has in store for you in your life. And so when we hear God's word, we're informed about how to live our life. And when we pray back to God, even praying back the verses that we just read, we are communicating. We are having a direct communication between God and us. And when we do this, this is how the wisdom of God comes into our life. And we form habits to do this. And after a while, you can't go a day without wanting to do it. That's what a habit is. And then in chapter 3 of Proverbs, the chapter that we're working in, so far we have read the word, pray to God. And then look at number 3. Verse 3, chapter 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. What is God telling us here? Everything about Jesus was love. Everything. And Jesus came for the needy and the poor, the downtrodden. And we're directed to do this ourselves. We want to be like Jesus. And so what we want to do is we want to, as we're forming the wisdom of God as a habit in our daily life and how we embrace God's wisdom in our life, we want to exercise that wisdom as we interact with the world in love. And it does no good, well, it probably does good to go up to a king and give him love or whatever, but the people who really need our love are the downtrodden and the poor. The people who are hurting. And so Jesus directs us that way. Before Jesus, in the time of Solomon, they direct us this way. And what this says here is, then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This isn't why you do it, but what will happen is you will be a man who is looked up to as somebody who really does love. So spending time in God's word, talking to God daily in prayer, and extending love to others, these life habits make us more prone to stop and be present in the moment. To be present in the moment. And to consider God's wisdom and then trusting his guidance. And when you do these kinds of things, you're not going to have a tendency to do foolish things like chase after a duck. Let's pray about this. God, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and the way you inform us through your word and for the opportunity that we have to learn from your word and to have our life developed by your word. And we're so grateful that we're able to pray to you, God, and that you sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to get to the word and to be able to have words of prayer. And you know, God, even to have times of prayer where we don't even say a word, but we know that we're connecting with you. So we appreciate that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.